Welcome to Startup Success, the podcast for startup founders and investors. Here, you'll find stories of success from others in the trenches as they work to scale some of the fastest growing startups in the world. Stories that will help you in your own journey. Startup Success starts now.
Welcome to Startup Success. Today, Steve Lord, head of Berkeley's FinTech practice, is here with Colin Kennedy, who is the Chief Business Officer of Ramp. He just joined from Stripe, and I know this is going to be a terrific conversation. So welcome to you both. And Steve, I'm going to hand it over to you.
All right, great. Thanks, Kate. And Andre and Colin, thanks for being here. This is super exciting for us to have folks of your caliber and your position in the fintech industry. So welcome and thanks for joining us.
It is great to be here. Thank you for having us. Looking forward to the discussion.
Awesome. You know, we don't always have folks, Colin, with your breadth of or your span of observation across the whole industry, having been sort of on the banking side and on the operator side and on the big corporate side all the way down to the startup side. So I was just wondering, like, when you look across those different vantage points, are there any, you know, are there two or three key things that sort of leapt out of you or leapt out to you about Ramp and about what they're building as it relates to where you think fintech is heading? And obviously, Andre, chime in too, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were many things that leapt out. So I'd say first and foremost, cannot emphasize enough the criticality of the founding team and the early founding team and that the importance of that. So I had the immense benefit and privilege of working for Stripe for a couple of years and getting to see just a world-class founding and senior leadership team. And there's a lot that's somewhat familiar at Ramp, and very specifically a focus on engineering, product, and users, customers first. And as much as that cliche is thrown out there, and I'll confess I don't often trust it when I hear it unless I see it's put into action, to see the extent to which that's in the DNA of the company. And I say it from knowing both Kareem and Eric, who are our co-founders for about 7 years now, seeing how they did that with their last company, Paribus, and really looking very directly at feedback that a lot of our investors got as they were diligencing us and seeing what are our customers saying about Ramp. And it very much comes back to themes around the extent to which we're really focusing on what matters to them most and continue to iterate. So that was one area. I think other ones that came out are really, secondly, a focus on long-term value and long-term relationships. We're in a really fortunate space in that we are able to deliver to users, to our customers, really immediate savings, immediate benefits that they do value, and it's a privilege to do that. It's also great to have this infrastructure in place from this engineering team that we have at Ramp that lets us broaden our offerings and offer it more and more to customers over time. So those two things are probably
gives you that longer horizon, right?
Yeah. To be able to earn the right to show we're giving you immediate benefit as we promised, you see that, you feel that, but you also see that we're developing more fairly quickly. I mean, there's no other company out there that I've seen that has brought so much in terms of feature and functionality sets and benefits to users so quickly, and also companies of a lot of different sizes. I give the team a lot of credit, and it just gives some credibility with customers who see, yes, whether it's a one password integration that we announced a few weeks ago, whether it is the ability for us to have the cards used internationally, whether it's the ability to initially virtually provision a card in addition to having a physical card. Those types of things are things a lot of companies are not offering and that our users definitely appreciate. And it's kind of fun to be able to provide.
Oh, great. Thanks. When you look at fintech in general, and obviously Ramp is part of this, you know, we hear a lot about how we're going to disrupt the legacy guys, right? And I know Concur ended up doing a very good job of doing that. But I mean, if I had a dollar for every fintech CEO that told me he was going to disintermediate MasterCard, you know, do you see, I mean, obviously you do for Ramp, but do you see the fintech world kind of moving in a direction where it could be a little more aspirational than it is going to end up being able to fulfill? I mean, I guess it's a long way of saying, do you find the fintech industry and all of the focus and all of the VC capital providing, you know, the triumph of hope over experience a little bit there?
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake and what's always a red flag for me is when companies, especially companies like us, are either talking about valuation or talking about disintermediation or talking about something else that I think is much more of a trophy and a distraction. If the focus is really not on, are you building something that companies are using right now in a meaningful way? Do you see a high uptick in use? Do you see your growth rates really strong in terms of how you're growing in a segment? Do you have really strong NPS scores? If you're focusing, especially at our stage, on things other than that, I think it's a massive distraction. Disintermediation in different cases certainly happens, and we can talk academically around where it occurs, but the core mission of the company has to be about what steps can we take, what can we do to add more value to users. And that, in many cases for Ramp, it involves a very partner-centric approach. So I'd say our model is, and part of why I came, is there's a lot, certainly an immense amount that the team has built internally. And we've talked a little bit about savings controls around the ability to have these controls at pretty finite levels, analysis and trends that CFOs at companies of hundreds of people and thousands of people who use Ramp really benefit from and love. It's great to see all that and to deliver that. It's also a stage where we can do that in some cases through using partners. So I referenced 1Password before, which is a company that we respect, we've done a partnership with. That integration is just about reducing friction. There are a lot more partnerships that, or is in part about reducing friction. There's a lot more partnerships that we can do with others. And it's one of the best things about being in fintech right now is that if you are really able to focus on growing the overall pie for you and your customers, you're going to have a much better near-term and long-term relationship versus thinking you need to try to take somebody out of the ecosystem.
Yeah. I think a lot of times they say that when they're trying to raise money, and then they get it and they realize, oh God, now we got to build it, you know? And to your point, if you just stick to your knitting, build a thing that people like, and give them more value than they think you're paying for, they're gonna build the business for you in a way, right?
And there are some great partners out there too. Like if I think of different banks that we work with, and other ones we may work with in the future, we're not a bank, and we don't have a plan right now or to become a bank. That makes us dependent upon incredibly valuable banking partners that give a great service, and figuring out how to more effectively partner with them. So if you're a customer of Ramps and Bank X, you're getting a better experience ideally.
Yeah. And I think that's the key. The founding team focusing on the experience, right? And not focusing on the exit or the valuation, or, you know, a lot of the early crypto guys were all talking about how they were going to put, you know, enter Fortune 500 company's name here and put them out of business. Well, maybe not so much.
Right.
I'd like to pivot a little bit to us, if we could, on, so we're watching fintech grow. I think it was either, One of the data, CB Insights, or one of those guys that track the VC industry, I think, has come out and said 2020 was the best fintech fundraising year in spite of the pandemic. There was a ton of VC interest in the space, some great exits, some unicorns and all that. When I look back, and I'm curious what you think about, I'm just going to say this premise, and I'd love you guys to tell me what you think about this idea. It seems like fintech sort of started out with the idea that we were going to cleave off pieces of traditional business banking, you know, debt management, settlement and clearing, all of these things, and run them using modern technology more efficiently, cheaper, faster, and all that. And so that created this sort of diaspora of all of these different fintech use cases and companies and all that. And now it seems that there may be a trend over the next couple of years to bring all of that kind of back together again, that there's almost a trend beginning of consolidation where some of these larger firms now want to go bolt on those fintechs that have become very good at doing a thing that the bank maybe is realizing they're not so good at doing. So I would love to hear your thoughts on that. It's a work in progress on our end. It's just a theory, but curious what you think of that idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And I'll give the listeners the benefit of hearing less of my voice in a minute, and Andre asking you to jump in and share thoughts, but I'll share initial thoughts. I think in general, it almost gets back to what you were raising in the last question, which is the model itself, it really will be that much better if you're focused again on what's the value you're bringing to users, you're bringing to customers. I think what's gone played out largely is, and it's central to what we're doing here at Ramp, is realizing where we're going to focus, where we can add value, which we see is both to employees, to the entire finance function within a company in terms of controls, in terms of demonstrable savings, a fundamentally different model where it's the first card, the first spend management product focused on savings versus spending. Those are easy things to talk about from a marketing perspective, but they're hard to engineer and they can be hard for companies to live by because I haven't seen any other company do it. The focus for us is seeing we can have, because we have a fantastic engineering team, because we actually are focused on these values, and because, I mean, Ramp is a collection of people who have worked for fintechs, worked for startups, worked for SaaS businesses, worked for large financial institutions. there's a respect for all of that knowledge that we have as a company. The head of our risk group was at Goldman Sachs until 6 months ago. I'd worked with him till around 6 months ago. I'd worked with him there. He's one of the best people, if not the best person I've worked with in that category. That category of risk management is not something an end user should think about directly, but when we do it well, we're able to deliver that much more value to them. So we really look to find who are the best people internally that in the ecosystem that we can work with, and then how to use different partners along the way, just as they're using us. There are us not becoming a bank, as an example, is a very deliberate decision. It's not something we're pursuing right now, nor is it something we have plans to pursue, at least in the near term. That's because we see our team being able to leverage the engineering assets, the technology we've created, in a way that users appreciate a lot more if we continue to build out the savings controls, if we continue to build out likely other rails that they can use to manage other aspects of their payments, if we really can optimize this experience of corporate spend management that a lot of us haven't liked, if we can focus there and partner effectively with banks, we think it's a better experience for users. Andre talks with a lot of our partners regularly, with a lot of our users regularly, so would love his thoughts on this.
Yeah. Happy to chime in here. I would say that for us, at least from my perspective, I look less at it about consolidation and what is the best experience for our customer. So whether that's partnering with someone or considering some sort of M&A activity, whatever the best product and client experience would be for our customers, I think that's how we look at it. And then get less caught up in broader, you know, what the industry is thinking about. It's more so let's deliver the best possible experience for our customers.
And how do you think the legacy incumbent people that are doing what you guys do are thinking of that ecosystem? Do you think they're beginning to understand that consolidating some of this stuff all under one roof isn't, I mean, like Stripe got into a couple of different places. Square started a bank, I think, right? Square Payments. They all start to widen the tent a little bit and get that user like, well, hey, look, we've got their payments. Well, maybe we should get their, well, we've got their banking. We should get their securities trading. They do start looking a little afield. I'm just curious what you guys think the legacy folks are going to do.
Yeah, I think it varies a lot company to company. So yeah. Working at Stripe is one of the biggest privileges of my career. And it's really because no other company have I seen really live and exhibit the values of focusing on what matters most to customers. And a company that also started revolutionizing and simplifying the payments experience at a time when it was extremely painful and spent a lot of time and continued to put out a lot of new features to really optimize that core payments experience. They've been extremely thoughtful and extremely user focused in how they've expanded. I think others have not. I think others have taken an approach similar to what you're alluding to in terms of perhaps looking more academically at categories they can capture versus the categories that users, customers actually want them to
actually care about.
It gets back to almost your last question of the consolidation of the trends of the industry. Maybe last year was, by the data, a great year for fintech in terms of valuations. The thing we're really trying to push ourselves for is like, what does that mean for the people who are using fintech solutions? If you're a medium-sized business, a small business, a large corporation, how is your life better now, a year later, from all of this funding? So the onus is on us to translate that investment into significant
action
features.
Sure. Another interesting question I have for you guys is, so the pandemic has obviously been a forcing function all across the board, right? But obviously in fintech payments and a couple other places, it has accelerated trends that were already there. As it relates specifically to what you guys are doing individually, but then also wider into the ecosystem, I'd just like to chat about that for a second. First of all, do you agree with that premise? And where particularly within fintech do you think the greatest acceleration has happened?
Sure. Andre, do you want to kick us off? I ask because I know you've seen a lot of this. So Andrew's been a ramp.
Sure, a lot of people have asked you guys this. Yeah.
No, it's a great question. It's always fun to reflect on it. I'm happy to add in some thoughts. Andre, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah. So I think there's been a lot going on in fintech. We're seeing, I would say, from our end, obviously our focus is on corporate card and spend management. However, I would say across the board, the industry is hot. We're seeing all players in the space are growing very rapidly. And we're looking at, you know, partnership opportunities with others where we think we can have better and value add for the customer, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's working with someone that's tangential to us in some way, right? They're growing rapidly. They have a great experience, great product. Great. We'd want to partner with them, work with them. And that's kind of how we look at it, right? It's what is going to be the best experience for the product and which fintechs are doing that. And we'll evaluate those partners.
And I'd say just to piggyback on that, really, there are two things that kind of come up. One is there's clearly been, and this was certainly not necessarily expected, but an increased focus on bottom line savings. So for right. Ramp, whose core mission is around demonstrating that savings, so to launch a corporate spend and expense management solution and say our mission is really to help you save money, that's antithetical to how everybody else in the ecosystem for decades has approached the space. It's happened at a time when companies are appreciating that more and more in what we've seen. The feedback from users is tremendous and saying, great, we can actually see demonstrable savings in these categories and these insights
matter. In a year when that was really important, right? People cared about it more last year than ever.
Completely. Yeah. And certainly many learnings along the way. I mean, the common place to go to is clearly less spend on travel and expenses. Right. And we're launching a corporate card solution, which is traditionally associated with travel and expenses.
Yeah.
The growth, the usage has been tremendous because for us, it's not about coming in and saying we're looking to fit into that mold of travel and expense management. It's much more so the broader ecosystem of where companies are spending and what's easiest for mm-hmm. them. So a lot of spend on advertising and other sources, in addition to seeing an increase in spend recently on travel and expense, which is a place where we naturally focus. We right. really want to help companies there. We love that. But it's also been an outgrowth to your question or the focus on digital and other spend has also been an outgrowth of what we've all experienced for the last 12 months.
Have you guys seen the way a CFO engages with the product change with the pandemic? With everybody at
Good
home,
question.
Does that matter? Does it make it easier or harder? Like, where's that come down?
So it's, would love to get thoughts from others on this too. I think one thing that's been interesting is we're clearly tracking where do companies go in our product suite? What features are used the most? And we saw, not necessarily surprisingly, but just a wonderful adoption of CFOs, heads of finance, looking at the insights we're giving on how their company and their employees are spending. And really finding value in the insights. It's incredibly easy to talk about savings insights, but very hard to present them in a way where you consistently see a finance head at a medium-sized business who's managing a million things, trying to grow their business, use these to make different decisions. It's hard to have the causal link, but there was an increase during the pandemic in terms of increased focus on what's happening with
insights. Right. We've seen that too on our end, that the demand for accurate KPIs around a whole bunch of stuff, it was there before, but being able to get to them quickly, accurately, and comprehensively in the pandemic certainly took on a greater focus. Thank you both again for coming. This has been super insightful and helpful and valuable. And Kate, I'll turn it back to you.
Yes, thank you both. And thank you, Steve, for hosting. Andre, do you want to leave listeners on where they can get in touch with Ramp if they want more information about your product?
Yeah, for sure. For any listeners out there, feel free to reach out to me directly at andre@ramp.com. That's andrey@ramp.com. We're also happily partnered with Berkland. So feel free to reach out to your Berkland rep or accountant, and they can get you in touch with us as well.
Great. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Startup Success. To make sure you don't miss out on future episodes, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. Like what you hear? Tap the number of stars you think the show deserves in Apple Podcasts. For more tools and resources for your own startup success, check out berklandassociates.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.